shows in him. For you are the one that gives us life, Lord. We come to you this morning and thank you for your grace and mercy to us. Lord, let your name be praised, Lord. And as we come to open up your word, Lord, give us light in our souls, Lord. We don't just want to learn things. We want to know you, Lord. And I pray you bless us. Grant us your grace, Lord. For you are the God who's given us life. You come that we may have life in you, Lord. We just bless you. May your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Right, can we begin, please, with the first piggy? Can you see that? Put this down. Health and safety. You've probably all got horror stories of health and safety, haven't you? They said that the kids couldn't play conkers in the playground, you know, because of health and safety reasons.
I've got a new rule, actually.
What's that?
My daughter rang up. She works in a preschool.
Yes.
And they had a little boy, and he was just messing about and putting everything on top of his head.
Right.
And it came to lunchtime, and he was the first person that was served. And it was tomato soup.
Oh, God.
And they put it in an orange bowl. So it ended up on top of his head.
Yes.
So now you're not allowed to put the same colour food in the same colour bowl.
All right. Because it's
officially empty. Because of the health.
Right, well, there you are. Yes. Now then, the reason I put that bit, it's got a lot to do with what we're looking at this morning, believe it or not. Here we have a hole in the ground, right? And in order to prevent you from falling into it, we put a barrier around it, and then they put a sign to mark you to go on the other side, and just to make sure, they put traffic lights and another notice, so you really know you shouldn't be going into that hole, right? And it's well-meaning, isn't it? It's for a good reason. They don't put these things in for wrong reasons. They're good reasons, but they can get rather out of hand. I mean, if you put a roadblock 3 miles up the road to prevent you getting into the hole, it's rather over the top, is it not? Well, I'm afraid to say that's what happened with some of the Bible commandments. With the best of wills, with the best of intentions, the commandments were simple. And what people did was they added extra bits on just to make sure that you didn't break them. With the best of intentions, I'm not here to knock those ancient rabbis that decided to do that, but it can get you into trouble, as we'll see. So let's have a look. Next picture, please. Right, so we're going to be looking at what the Sabbath is about. The Sabbath. What's the Sabbath? Do you know? Well, hopefully you will by the time we finish. Right? The Sabbath, the name, the word Sabbath, comes from the book of Genesis, the second chapter, verse 2, where it says that in 6 days God created the world, etc. And then it says, and on the seventh day he rested. And the word to rest in Hebrew is Shabbat. Shabbat, yes. Okay? Right, so that's where the word comes from. God rested on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. So Sabbath begins, if you didn't know this, Sabbath begins at sunset on Friday and ends at sunset on Saturday. Why do they work the days from evening till the next evening? Because in Genesis chapter 1, he talked about God creating things on different days, and he says, there was evening and there was morning the first day, there was evening and morning the second day. So the day begins at 6 o'clock in the evening, in general. The sun sets round about then, okay? So that's when the Sabbath begins, right? And it was very special for Israel. God had set the nation apart, and the Sabbath was one of those requirements that he wanted them to keep in order to make them special and separate to him. Right? So he says in Exodus 31:16, God said, the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. So that's the Sabbath, right? Next picture, please. Right, so here we have God's commandments regarding the Sabbath. You shall not do any work. Right. 6 days you shall labour and do all the work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And one of the things that the Israelites were to enjoy in the Sabbath was they had been slaves in Egypt, and God was giving them a rest. It was a time to be able to enjoy rest from the labour so that they could spend time together and with him. Right, so let's have a look at our next one, please. Right, so, is this work? Here we have a lady, she's carrying wood. There's others carrying firewood as well. Is that work? You see, it's easy to say, you shall not work, but, of course, the people of the times had to find out, what does it mean when it says work? See, what is work and what isn't work? You see, it's not all about being paid. Yeah? I mean, I get paid to preach, you know. And I mean, I do it for nothing. Yeah, honestly, I mean, I enjoy it, it's good, right? And there are other people who don't get paid for what they do, and it's still work, yes? So, what's work? Is that work?
Yes.
You don't think it is? Looking after the household, gathering wood. Well, listen to this. I mean, this is why it gets serious, dear friends. It says, while the Israelites were in the wilderness, a man was found gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly, and they kept him in custody because it was not clear what should be done to him. What was going to be done to him? Well, you can read the next verse if you want to. Do you know what God said? Put him to death.
No, never.
Yes. Execute him. Why? Just for gathering wood. Was it just for gathering wood? Well, if you read the verse before it, it says, God provides forgiveness for unintentional sins. But those who deliberately go against what God has said, death penalty. And obviously, God must have made it clear, don't gather wood on Sabbath. That doesn't mean to say you shouldn't have food in your home and cook your food, of course. But don't go out gathering the wood on the Sabbath. So, you know, this got them thinking about what was work and what wasn't work, because it's a serious business, of course. Right? So, the next picture shows us a terrible, terrible tragedy. In March it was, New York house fire killed 7 children in Brooklyn. Right? A mother and her children were in bed at night, and some couple escaped, but 7 died. He says, well, 7 children from the same family died yesterday, the 20th of March, 2015, when their New York home was engulfed in flames after a portable cooker malfunctioned. The so-called hot plate, which is a small electrical heating element, may have been left on to keep food warm because of Orthodox Jewish customs, the bar cooking on the Sabbath. So, that someone had told them, some rabbi from years ago, long, long time, he said, to turn a cooker on and off is work.
Yeah.
Right? And therefore, this lady, being an observant lady, didn't turn it off, and it malfunctioned in the night. It could have malfunctioned any time, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah? But when there's nobody watching, and you're in bed, and your kids are asleep, it's not a wise idea to leave a cooker on. Now, I don't believe that God intended that people should leave cookers on as a means of not working. They normally get Gentile outsiders to come and switch them on and off in an attempt to keep the rule. But I don't think God intended the rule in the keeping of the Sabbath to be about turning lights on and off and switches on and off. Lights as well. Yes. This is the fact. I'm not mocking them. They're trying to fence around the hole. Right? That's the point. Yeah, so they don't break the command. But I think they've gone over the limits, as we'll see when Jesus comes in on the scene in a minute. But, for example, strict Jewish people, on the Sabbath, when you open your fridge door, the light comes on. Well, on the night before, the day before the Sabbath begins, they put tape over the switch. So that when you open the door, the light doesn't come on. Yeah? Now, we think it's funny, and it is funny if you've got that sense of humour for it, yeah? But friends, they're trying to keep the command that the rabbis told them is not to break the Sabbath, right? I don't think that's what God wanted, right? But the point of the chap taking the wood home makes it a serious issue. Now, we're not playing games. We want to do what's right. They wanted to do what's right, of course. Okay, so let's move on next. So we come to our story in the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 6. And it's two incidents that happen on the Sabbath that get Jesus into trouble. So, chapter 6 of Luke's Gospel says this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and the man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked round at them all, and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious, and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. So Jesus gets into conflict over those things. Right, so we're going to look at those two passages, two little stories, to get something about what God wants us to think about Sabbaths and so on, yeah? Well, first of all, it says that the NIV doesn't have it, maybe your version does, but it says one Sabbath, the word that comes after it's a word, the second and the first Sabbath. The second and the first. What on earth's all that about? It's a technical term, right? It says on the second first Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields. Well, what it is this, right? Passover is the Sunday of the Passover is the resurrection day. It's Easter Sunday for us, isn't it? Yeah? That's the first, right? And then they were to count off 7 weeks after that, right? 7 weeks before Pentecost, right? And each Sabbath that was counted off after that was a Sabbath that had a special number. The first Sabbath after the Easter Sunday is called the second first, right? So we know when it happened, right? It's a week after Easter, right? That's the point, yes? So from the day after the Sabbath, this comes from Leviticus, how they marked it out. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wheat wave offering, count off 7 full weeks, count off 50 days up to the day of the seventh Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. So that gives you a clue. There's something else going on at Passover. Passover wasn't just offering the sacrifice to remember the Exodus from Egypt, but it was the beginning of the harvest. Right? Part of the harvest, the grain harvest, was, and so they brought a sheaf in as an offering and waved it before the Lord, right? So that lets you know that the grain is getting ripe, right? Which brings us into the story that we're going through the cornfields. The corn's getting ready, isn't it? Yeah? Right, so let's move on, please. Right, so one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Is that allowed?
No.
I would have thought so. They're hungry.
They're hungry. He'd have thought so. Right. Is it allowed or isn't it allowed? You've got to know your laws here, you know. Right. Well, let me show you what Deuteronomy 23 verse 25 says. If you enter your neighbour's grain field, you may pick kernels with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to their standing grain. Right? Isn't that interesting? If you go through your neighbour's cornfield, he's got all this wheat growing, right, you can grab a few and rub them and blow it. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Right, some of us have. Those that live in the cities, you won't know what we're talking about. But, right, okay. It's great stuff. If you chew it long enough, it turns into chewing gum. Didn't you know that? Yeah, anyway. Right, okay. So, yeah, we've done this before, you know. Right, okay. So, they're going through the fields, rub the stuff, start eating it, right? But it says, if you get a sickle out, what are you doing? You're stealing for one, and you're harvesting for two, right? So that's two commandments you've busted, isn't it, right? You're working, and you're stealing. But just to pick it out and have a bite is satisfying your hunger, but it's not work, as that sense is, right? So Deuteronomy makes it quite clear. But of course, you know what the old guys did? They said, that's harvesting, right? Doing that, harvesting. So it's work. So thou shalt not. Right? That's thou shalt not is what it's all about. Right? As far as the Pharisees are concerned. Yes. God said, you shall. Remember the Sabbath day. He said, don't work so that you can remember it. But it's not about the thou shalt not. It's about thou shalt. Right? But the Pharisees, thou shalt not. Okay.
Who made the laws in the beginning? Like when they said that on the seventh day Jesus rested. Who made the laws?
God made the laws, the original ones, right. But men added to them. Right. That's the point. They were explaining what it meant that they were trying to interpret it properly, but in interpreting it, they added bits as well sometimes. Right. So I'll give you one example. Another example is that at the resurrection, there were several disciples walking along the Emmaus Road. The Emmaus Road, do you remember?
Yes.
And Jesus joined them. And he says they were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which is a Sabbath day's journey. Right? So what they'd worked out was, if you walked further than that distance, that was work. It might have been as well, yeah? Right? But up to there, that was relaxation, that was refreshment. So, and there isn't a Sabbath day's journey mentioned in the Old Testament. What they'd done is they'd worked out what was work and what wasn't, yeah? And some of them, health and safety, good. Others, health and safety, bad. Right? As Jesus has just come across, health and safety, bad. Right? So, he's going to tackle them on it. Next, please. Right. Right, so, some of the Pharisees asked him, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Jesus answered them. Right, we'll come on to that, yeah. They say it's unlawful on the Sabbath. There was a rule written somewhere, you mustn't grind on the Sabbath. Someone had worked it out and written it down somewhere, right? And they say it's unlawful. Was it unlawful? No! It was unlawful to them, but what Jesus says, well, here we've got the commandment, 6 days you do your work, but on the seventh day you do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. Right? It's all about refreshing and blessing. Okay? Just throw this in. What's your ox and your donkey nowadays? Tractors, washing machines, you name it, yeah. Right, so, you know it. I don't know what they do. Do they do ironing on the Sabbath?
I wouldn't think so.
Never. No. Never do any ironing anyway. Right, fair enough. Right, okay. Right, so, here we are. When you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Work of your hands. Yes. Is that work?
Yes.
No, it's not work. Jesus says it's not work, right? Yeah. It's feeding yourself. As we'll see in the next thing, he gives them the answer. Jesus answered them. I like that. He says Jesus answered them. Do you know how Jesus answers people?
With a question.
With a question. Yes, right. Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God. And taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for the priests to eat. That was in black and white in the Old Testament. That's for the priests, right? But David went in and had not the fresh stuff, but the stuff that had been taken out, yeah? He also gave some to his companions. Well, he gave some to his fighting men as well. Well, are we going to criticise David for that? Jesus doesn't. The Pharisees might have done. Yeah? But Jesus says he did what was unlawful on the Sabbath, because there was a higher law in place, living, surviving, right? And so he said one superseded the other, in effect. Right, let's move on, yes? Right, so, and then he says this staggering statement, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, what's the first thing he says? Is Jesus is claiming the title for the Messiah. The word Son of Man isn't just any old name, you know. Son of Man was understood by them to mean Messiah. Right? So he says, the Messiah is Lord of the Sabbath. But when he says the Messiah is Lord of the Sabbath, what's he saying? I am it. I am it. I am the Messiah. Right? So I can say what goes, right? Which is the following up from it. Yeah? So Jesus is claiming to be Messiah again, right? And next is, he claims that he has the right to properly interpret what his Father means by the commandment, you shall not work. He's the one that says, that's work, that isn't work. Right? So when he sees his disciples doing that, if they were breaking the Sabbath, he would have told them. Right? But if they're not breaking the Sabbath, he says, enjoy. Right? That's what the Sabbath was meant to be about. Okay, next little bit. He claims to have authority to set the rules straight and set aside the traditions where they hinder God's purpose for the Sabbath. That's what brings Jesus into conflict with the Pharisees. They had got the right rules and traditions added on to it, and the traditions were getting in the way of the right ones. Okay, so Jesus gets into conflict with them over that. Next then, please, right. So, then the next bit he says, on to the next part of the story, on another Sabbath he went into the synagogue and was teaching. So, there you are. Question. What does that say about Jesus' attitude to the Sabbath? On another Sabbath he went into the synagogue and was teaching. What was Jesus' attitude to the Sabbath?
Then you can do
it. Saying he observed the Sabbath. He didn't break the law. I mean, he couldn't have broken the law, otherwise he would have been a sinner. Right? But he observed the Sabbath. He went into the synagogue, he met with God's people, he worshipped, and he was a teacher there. So he's sharing in the service of the Sabbath, right? So Jesus observes the Sabbath when God says that's what you're to do. But he does not observe their Sabbath when they're seeing things that God didn't tell them to do. Right, next please. Right. Now then, there was a man whose right hand was shriveled. I don't know if you can see that, his hand's quite badly deformed there. There was a man whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. It doesn't say, and I don't know the answer. Did he come on his own or was he planted? I don't know. These Pharisees are real sneaks, you know. They could have just found this guy and sort of rolled him up for the morning, you know. I don't know. But
he got more than he bargained for.
He got blessed. And that's good, isn't it? Yes. But so, they're looking to see what happens. Next, please. Yes. So, Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. So he got up and stood there. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Jesus was not intimidated by these naughty so-and-sos who were, they got all the traditions and authorities standing at the back of them, you know? And Jesus is not intimidated. Right? And brother and sister, if you've got Jesus and you're doing what's right, don't let him intimidate you. Right? So, there he is, says, come on, stand up in front of everybody. Right? Okay, next please. Then, this is the real fundamental point. Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And he looked around them at them all. So he looks around all this congregation that's sitting there. And in Mark's Gospel he says he looked around them angry. Yeah? Why is Jesus angry?
Because
they couldn't care less about this poor soul suffering. Right? All they're concerned about is their silly little tick box, done it right today. Right? So Jesus is really angry at their inability to do what's right on the Sabbath, because they've been intimidated by these Pharisees and everybody else to say, you know, we don't do anything.
No compassion
at all. Right. So Jesus looked round at them and he gives them the big question, and they won't answer. That's what he's annoyed at. They won't answer. They didn't stand up for what was right. He asked them to choose. He says, is it lawful on the Sabbath? Right. We're talking about law, are we? Let's talk about the law. Is it lawful to do good or evil? Simple answer.
Do good.
Right. To save life or destroy it.
Save life.
Yes. Right. Jesus said on another occasion, your donkey, it falls into a ditch on the Sabbath. What do? You get it out. Why? Because you're saving life. You break the one law because there's a higher law above it, in the sense that God wants you to consider life and important things. Right? Okay? Good to rest. But there are occasions when there are works of mercy. As we say, when jobs have to be done that are essential for life or well-being or things like that, well, they take the high priority. Okay? So, simple choice, and they don't say anything. The fundamental point of the Sabbath is simply these great things I've put here. It's a day for spiritual restoration. It's not a thou shalt not day. I remember speaking to a Scotsman when I worked in industry, and he'd grown up in one of these very strict Sabbatarian communities. You know, he wasn't a believer. He'd had enough of it by the time he'd grown up and got out. Yeah, but it was a thou shalt not Sunday. You shan't do this, you shan't do that, you shan't do the other. Right? What's good about that? Right? How are we meant to be? It's celebrating life. Yes. Right? It's for promoting life and worship. So Jesus went to meet with God's people. It's about being together as God's people. It's about being refreshed as God's people. Right? And where life is challenged with, in these instances, hunger and disability, then flexibility is part of God's purpose. Right? So Jesus is making perfectly clear what the Sabbath is really all about. It's not the thou shalt not thing. Right. Next, please. Right. Therefore, Jesus did what was required for the Sabbath, what God wanted him to do, and that was, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. Wow, praise the Lord. Right, and I should think that the chap was rather happy, and quite a few of those that didn't like the Pharisees were happy as well. And so, Jesus did the right thing. Right. And he didn't break the Sabbath by healing the man. Because it wasn't required to do that. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. So I ask you the question, what were they doing on the Sabbath?
Evil.
Doing planning evil. Right, yeah. So they broke it, yes.
Character assassination.
Character assassination, yeah. Yes, yeah. So, right, so that's the story. We've got a few little bits to pick out from it now. Just a few more, Two questions for us, right? Because there aren't many Jewish people here this morning, are there? Right? No. Right. So we'll see how it fits for the Gentiles, right? So, where does the Sabbath fit into the New Testament? That's where we start from, of course. And then, what is the Sabbath to do with us? Right. Next step, please. There's the question. Where does the Sabbath fit into the New Testament? Well, it says in Acts 18, verse 4, every Sabbath, Paul reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. He went to the synagogue, he preached, he taught, he shared with people, he spent time with people in the synagogue. What is Paul doing? He's keeping the Sabbath. Right? As a Jewish man, he's keeping the Sabbath. Okay? And it also says in the rest of the New Testament, you won't find really any specific commandment about keeping the Sabbath day. It says about all sorts of other commandments. I mean, people say, you know, when I'm not under law, I'm under grace now. I don't have to keep the laws. I don't have to, no. But what about you shall not kill? How about that one?
Yes.
You shall not lie? How about that one? Yeah? How about worship the Lord God and no idols? We're supposed to keep them, you know. Well, all of those are mentioned in the New Testament under the category of love the Lord your God and love your neighbour. That all comes together as that. But it doesn't mention about the Sabbath, really. But there is one bit we'll come to now. In the letter to the Colossians, which was substantially a Gentile church, Paul writes this in chapter 2. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. He says, don't let anybody put you down about that. Don't let anybody judge you. Right? You're free to do as you feel God wants you to do. Right? And what are the things he's talking about? What about eating and drinking? That's kosher laws. Right? What about a regard to a religious festival? Passover, Sukkot, Pentecost, all of those festivals, Jewish festivals. And what about a new moon celebration on a Sabbath day? Definitely Jewish festivals. Right? So he says, all the Jewish festivals, don't let them put you down if you don't observe them. Right? Because he's talking to Gentiles then, right? Yeah. So the Gentile believers are not bound by the ceremonial law. But one of the things that stands out in the New Testament all the way along is, for both Jew and Gentile, observance was not a means of salvation. You did not get salvation points by keeping the Sabbath, and by being circumcised, and by eating kosher food. You didn't get brownie points through that. That's what God required the Jews to do, and that's fine, and it's good to do that. Yes? But the problem was that some of the Jews were thinking, I've done that, I'm alright. Paul says, no, is through faith in the Messiah. He's the one who's perfectly kept the law, and you haven't. And since you haven't, trying to keep the rest of it perfectly is not going to save you from the stuff you've messed up already. Right? You need 100% salvation, or you don't get it. And Jesus is the one who gives it. And so, Paul made that quite clear about observing the laws. Yeah? Next, please. Right, so the Gentile believers were not required to observe the Sabbath in the New Testament. But, there's always a but, isn't there? Right? But, the principles contained in the Sabbath command are still applicable for us all today. Because the Sabbath was part of the way God made the world in the first place. 6 days and one day, you know? Right? So, there's something in that Sabbath thing that's important. Right? Even for those that don't strictly observe it as the Sabbath as the Jewish people did. Right? So, now the question I've got is these two questions, right? So this is the Sabbath principles for us. Is there a place for restoration in the normal run of life? Or is it 24-7, 365 days a year, slog, 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 slog?
And the Lord knows you need
yes,
Sunday or
yes, whatever day. But if you keep going, I promise you, you'll crunch. Yes. God built a rest into the system because you need it. Right? So, you know, we've got to watch that one. And the other is, does worshipping God have a central part of your life? The Sabbath wasn't a day of inactivity. It wasn't a thou shalt not day. It was, remember the Sabbath day. Well, yes. How? By thanking God for his grace to us, his blessings to us. Then worship's part of it. Okay? So, that's the principle continues. You may not observe the Sabbath. I'll come round yours at 6:30 next Friday and see what you're up to. Is that right? Right, anyway, let's move on. Right. Okay, on the first day of the week, this is in Acts chapter 20, on the first day of the week we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. That was a long service, wasn't it? Okay? Yeah, and you think we have long ones? I'll tell you what, this was, somebody nodded off, you know. And what happened when he nodded off?
He fell out the window.
Fell out the window and got killed.
Oh.
Yes, I'll teach you to nod off on it. But what he did was Paul raised him from the dead. God's grace, he raised him from the dead, and he carried on until the morning. Right, but I'll tell you, nobody else nodded off afterwards. So, he got away with it, but they might not be so fortunate next time. Right, okay. So, but the point I'm making is this. On the first day of the week, why did they get together on the first day of the week? These are slaves, mind you. Lots of them were slaves. They came together on the first day of the week. Why?
It was the day the Lord rose.
It was the day that Jesus had risen from the dead. And so they wanted to remember that day as a special day of thanksgiving for the life that God had given them. So they started to meet together on the first day of the week. And the early church began to meet on the first day of the week. And the first day of the week is?
Sunday.
A lot of people think it's Monday, you know, nowadays. It isn't. The first day of the week is Sunday. Still. Yes? Right. And in the Gentile church, Sunday came to be known as the Lord's Day, and it began to replace the Saturday Sabbath. Particularly with them being Gentile background as well, of course. Yeah? So that's how it went in. Right? Last little bit. You've been very good. We're not going till midnight. You'll be happy to know. Right? Okay. Midday maybe, but midnight no. Right, okay. Going deeper. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews explains the spiritual link of the Sabbath and the people entering the promised land. It's quite an interesting, if you want to read the letter to the Hebrews, he goes into that quite in good detail. And he talks about the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, they entered into the promised land. They entered into their rest. The sort of idea that's used there, right? So the idea of coming out of Egypt, out of slavery, into their rest. But he says, Joshua didn't get them into the rest. That's what the Hebrews writer says. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. He set a certain day, calling it today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So, he's saying about Joshua leading them into rest, but they didn't get into rest. So, what's it all about? Next picture, please. This is my last page, I think. A lot of writing and some really important things. It's from Hebrews. It's all about the Sabbath is a picture of salvation. At its deepest level, the Sabbath is about a picture of being saved, entering into a relationship, a real life relationship with God. Right? So he says this, Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who had formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, that was the Israelites, those that didn't obey died in the desert before they was went in. God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Right? In other words, you do not need to work to earn God's forgiveness, to earn salvation, to earn a relationship with God. God gives it to you as you enter into that through faith in Jesus. Right? There's a Sabbath rest. It's a rest from your work, just as God rested from his work. You enter into that rest, and there is refreshment, there's life, there's forgiveness. What the Sabbath was all about is a wonderful time of fellowship with the Lord. Right? Okay? So, he gives them a little warning just to make sure. You know, he says, therefore, let us make every effort to enter that rest. Work at it to get a rest. Isn't that good, eh? Work at it to get a rest, he says, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Which takes us back to the man gathering firewood. Why did he die? He was disobeying God's command. Right? God said, do it, and I'll give you life, I'll bless you, right? And he says that to us. Trust in me. Trust in my son Jesus, and you get the forgiveness, the life, the blessing that I promised, free. Right? If you want to work for it, you won't work for it. It's not possible. Right? So let's not get disobedient. God says, that's the way, trust me. Right, last question then. It's not there, but have you done that? Right? Are you resting? Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what you are. Right? But also remember that the Sabbath principles are important. Yeah? Don't try and keep burning yourself all day long, every day. You need to have time with the Lord, time with his people, because you are not designed to keep running like a machine. Won't work. And God knows that. He wants you to be blessed. Hallelujah for that, eh? So when Jesus turns up and starts saying, that's not work, that's not work, and he says to his disciples, enjoy. He's not wanting you to work on the Sabbath, he's we call it the Lord's Day now. He's wanting you to enjoy it. Amazing. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you know you are Lord of the Sabbath. And we just bless you, Lord, that you come into our lives to bring us the freedom from working to earn your love. Lord, we couldn't do it. It's not possible. You just give your love freely to us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, you know our bodies, you know our frames, our minds, and you know that we need to have time, Lord, away from all the usual normal things. Time to recharge our batteries. Time, Lord, just to be in your presence. Thank you, Jesus. You know us better than we know ourselves. Thank you for your mercies. And help us, Lord, help us to follow your ways and worship you. Lord, rest in Jesus. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.